I would remind you, we have a list on the bulletin board back there of individuals that have not been able to be with us because of the COVID and such things, and a list for contacting them, and just remind you to take a look at that, and so that we can contact everybody and just keep them aware that we are thinking of them and concerned about how they're doing. In Revelation 2, and in verse 10, Jesus speaking to the church at Smyrna, and he's telling them about some things that are going to transpire and come upon them. And in verse 10 in particular, he says to them, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 3, or I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11, in the list of qualifications for elders and deacons and their wives, the Apostle Paul says in verse 11, in connection with women, women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Likewise, faithful in all things. I want to talk about, for a little while, being faithful. The idea that Jesus said to the church at Smyrna, you're going to suffer some stuff, but you don't have to be afraid. Some of you are going to be cast into prison. Well, how would you like it if I called you up on the phone and said, yeah, good evening this evening. Tomorrow you're going to be cast into prison. How would you feel about that? You wouldn't be excited, would you? You're going to be tested. You're going to have tribulation for a while. But then I remind you, be faithful unto death, and you'll receive the crown of life. Be faithful in all things. Be faithful in persecution. It's going to happen. Again, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 12, says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I want you to notice that he says will be, not might be, but will be. We are living in some very difficult days. I understand that COVID is a terrible disease that has afflicted us for quite a while now. But we are facing some very difficult and hard things from our nation, from those who lead this nation and those who live in this nation. There is a dislike for godliness and God things. And we are going to face some hardships because of that. And we need to think about it. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's going to happen. I don't know when and I don't know how, but it will happen. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, Peter says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. It's not and should not surprise us. It should not make us feel like it's something odd that's happening. This is what's going to happen to those who want to live godly lives. It may not be as it was for the first century Christians, but it's still going to happen to those who want to live godly. In fact, there were a number of examples. It doesn't take long in reading the Bible to find a number of individuals who were trying to be godly individuals who were persecuted. In fact, think about it. Not only were they persecuted, they were put to death. the very first murder in Genesis 4. Abel is slain by his brother Cain because his deeds were righteous. Wow. It just barely gets started in the Bible and you already have somebody persecuted for righteousness' sake, don't we? Now, there are a number of examples. Think about it in Romans 9. The Apostle Paul is talking about in verse 3, I wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He was concerned about Israelites, his brethren in the flesh, those that he descended from and was a part of. He was concerned about them. He said, I would be happy to be set aside by God and cursed by God if they could be saved, but that was not to be the case. In fact, you will remember down in verse 6, he says, but it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Not all. Talking about the Gentiles being brought in. And that very idea of being faithful. Those who were faithful. One of the problems with Israel, as we look at the Old Testament account, clearly is they had a difficult time with being remaining faithful to God and serving Him as they should. In fact, Jesus Himself addresses them in John 8 and verse 44 as of their father, the devil. But we need to be faithful in all things. Back in chapter 8 of Romans, notice in verse 18, says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I think that's an important thing for us to, as Christians, to remember that the things that we may have to suffer in this life are not even comparable to the glories of being with the Father eternally. Drop down then in that chapter to verse 35. And notice, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will a tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Be faithful in all things, and it will not matter what happens to you in this life. There is eternal life waiting for you. Be faithful in all things. Be faithful in temptation. In fact, Paul writing to the Corinthians in Corinthians 10 and in verse 13 said that no temptation has overtaken you but is such as is common to man. And God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also that you may be able to endure it. Those who were tempted were there for our encouragement. All of those temptations that we've seen in the past, those things that they faced, help us to face temptation ourselves. Joseph, think about Joseph in Genesis 39 in verses 7 through 18. His brothers have sold him into slavery. What a terrible thing to do him. But he is faithful throughout that situation and serves God as he should. Think about Daniel in Daniel 1 and verse 8. He's got a difficult choice to make here. But he makes that effort. He looks for a way of being faithful to God. And he finds a way. And is allowed to do those things because it worked out, because God was with him. Or in chapter 3, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego face the choice of either bowing down to the image of the king or not. What do? They're faithful to God. And in that situation, God delivered them from the furnace of blazing fire. Or think about Jesus in Hebrews 2, when the Hebrew writer writes about the temptation that Jesus faced in this world. In Hebrews 2 and verse 18, "For since he himself was tempted in that which he suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." He is the one who can aid us. He can help us. He can assist us through those things and understands the situation that we're in. You flip over a couple of chapters to chapter 4 and notice there, beginning in verse 14, he says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace in the time of need." Matthew 4, Luke 4, give us a picture of the temptation that Jesus faced. They were common temptations, common in the sense they were common to all people in general. The same kind of temptations that I faced, he faced. And though he faced those temptations, he did not give in to them, but overcame that sin. We are to be faithful in all things like a faithful steward. In fact, a steward is a manager. He manages what God has entrusted to him. Money, family, the gospel. In fact, think about Paul. He was entrusted with the gospel. He was a steward of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, he says, "For I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Wow. That's the kind of faithful steward I want to be of God's word, to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. A faithful steward, therefore, must know what God expects in each role. In Luke 12 and verse 42, Jesus said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time?" Got to know what the master expects. So I've got to know God's word. I've got to study it. I've got to examine it. I've got to make sure that I'm using it in my life. In Titus 1 and verse 7, in Titus talking about, or Paul talking to Titus about overseers, he says, "The overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain." He must be above reproach as God's steward. Elders are to be above reproach. They are stewards of God. They are the shepherds of the people of God in this place. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, Peter writes, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." I'm to do the very best I possibly can in the things that God has blessed me with, that I may be able to share those things with others. I need to be faithful in all things in disappointments. Sometimes circumstances do not work out the way we expect. I think about it from time to time. Next, in 2022, on August the 27th, I would have been married to Darlene for 50 years. It just didn't work out that way. Things in life sometimes do not work out the way we expect. Think about Elijah in 1 Kings 18. It doesn't work out the way Elijah expected it. He has great success in defeating the prophets of Baal, and they're all killed. But what happens? Old Jezebel's going to have her way. She's going to kill him as quickly as she possibly can. And so she's searching for him. She's got people looking for him to destroy him. Or think about John the Baptist. Remember, he was asked the question, are you the expected one? Are you the Christ? Are you the one that we've been waiting for, the Messiah? And he had to tell him no. But think about it. John was in prison for about a year. And then Herodias' daughter comes and dances for Herod. And he agrees to give her anything up to half his kingdom. And what does she do? But she asks for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Now, think about it. John's been preaching the gospel. He's been teaching the people. He's been preparing the way for the Lord. He's not the expected one. He's in prison. But the bad thing is, he's not coming out in one piece. He died there, didn't he? Or look at John 6. John 6, and notice if you would with me, beginning at verse 66. John 6, beginning at verse 66. Says, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were walking, or not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, do you not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, Jesus had made some pretty tough statements here, and many of those people who had been following him and listening to him and the messages that he was delivering have stopped following him. They don't understand what Jesus is saying. But I want you to notice what Peter says here. I may not know what you're talking about, but I know you have the words of truth. You have the words of eternal life. That's important. That's important. In spite of the disappointments of not understanding, I still know you have the words of eternal life. Or Paul in 2 Timothy 4. In 2 Timothy 4, when he is being deserted and he is just simply in need of someone to be there for him. And he's writing to Timothy and encouraging Timothy to come as quickly as possible. Notice beginning in verse 10, he says, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and had gone to Thessalonica. Crincian has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dominia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tacchus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he is viciously opposing our teaching. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul was feeling alone, but notice how that passage ends. He's been deserted, and in spite of being deserted, he says, Lord, don't hold it to their account. But notice there as he ends this thought in verses 17 and 18, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Lord, verse 18, will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Be faithful even in the midst of disappointments. When people and you know what? People are just simply going to disappoint you from time to time. They're going to disappoint you. But the Lord will never fail you. Be faithful in all things. Be faithful in prosperity. You know, it always seems like more is better, right? But that's not always the case, is it? More is not necessarily better. In fact, we need to understand that with more comes new challenges. The proverb writer in Proverbs 30 in verses 8 and 9 says, "Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of my God." Be faithful even in prosperity. The Lord has done all things for us, and we should truly appreciate the blessings that He has provided with us or for us. In Luke 18 and verse 24, Jesus looked at the rich young ruler, that's how we term him anyway, the rich young ruler, who's asked him what he needs to do to have eternal life. And Jesus says, "Keep the commandments." And the young man says, "That I've done from my youth up. What do I yet lack?" And the Lord says, "Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Give it away." And he goes away sad. And in verse 24, Jesus said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." It is that way for anyone who puts the material things of the world above God. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, Paul says, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy." Being rich is not necessarily a blessing because it can distract us from what's really important in this life. In fact, I've noted about this that the context is to those who want to be rich, not those who are necessarily rich. Instruct them not to get caught up in this present world, the things of this world, and fix their hope on the things of this world. Cheryl and I talk from time to time that we've got so much stuff that sometimes we can't find a place for it. We just need to get rid of it, but we don't know. We need somebody to just come in and say, "You need, that goes," I suppose. We've got an awful lot of stuff. Is that stuff keeping us from being faithful in all things? I appreciate what Paul says. You appreciate so much Paul's attitude in so many ways. But in Philippians 4 and in verses 11 through 13, he says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having an abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." I have learned. It is about learning, isn't it? It's about learning what's really important and focusing on that. Are you faithful in all things? That begins by becoming a child of God, by obeying the gospel. If your life is not right with Him tonight, then we would encourage you this very hour to change that, to put on Jesus Christ in baptism, to be obedient to the gospel's call and give your life over to Him. Won't you do that as we stand and sing?